Okay. So let's continue discussing some of these areas where scientific findings could theoretically affect halacha, and to see how the Poskim address it. So we mentioned last few weeks we've been discussing the debate between the Chacham Tzvi and the Plesi and Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz, and the Chacham Tzvi argued that it's impossible for a chicken to live without a heart. Ask any doctor, ask any scientist. And Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz said, first of all, it's not impossible. I've asked my own doctors, I asked my own scientists, and they say such a thing is possible. And second of all, even if my doctor said it wasn't, who says we care about it? And from there you see a very stark contrast between the two opinions. How significant do we take these medical opinions, these scientific findings, how seriously do we take them in halacha? And that is a question which came up once again in today's night's topic, when halacha began to address the findings, the advances of being able to test genetics and things of that nature based on DNA, which could obviously affect many, many different areas of halacha. We know that there are studies have been proven to show that Kohanim have a specific DNA, but in terms of parental, in terms of Yerusha, people trying to get Yerusha could definitely play a role to show that they're the child. Or in terms of Yichus, it could play a tremendous role to show that a person who's my father, who's my mother, DNA could play a tremendous role. And we have to know, how does halacha view the findings of DNA? Another area where it's certainly applicable is after the when it comes to heter agunas. This is something we'll see shortly. Was a hot topic, unfortunately, Rahman al-Tzlan, by 9/11, the World Trade Center. So when they wanted to prove that certain women were not agunas, so one of the only ways to do it sometimes was because of the terrible damage that was done, so there's no recognizable anything, but they could do it based on DNA. So we have to know, how seriously do we take DNA? Obviously the Gemara doesn't talk about DNA, right? The Gemara talks about two Edim. So do you equate DNA with two Edim? Is it better than two Edim? Is it less than two Edim? Is it like one Ed? So you have to know, how seriously do we take the findings? That's what I want to discuss. And the reason I'm doing so is because the story that we mentioned last week is brought as a major, major maramakam source in this discussion. But first, let's take a general approach and see two different opinions when it comes to just incorporating scientific findings. Take a look at maramakam number 2, where the Rivash writes as follows. Just an interesting, you'll see different perspectives within Chachmei Yisrael. Says the Rivash, maramakam number 2, Bidavar hasha'ela yadata adain she'ein lanu ladam bedinei tarasenu umitzvoseha api chachmei hateva refua. We don't make halacha, we don't pass kinshailas based on doctors, based on scientists. She'im namin l'divreyim ein tarim min ha'shamayim chalila. Who knows what could come out if we trust everything they say. Ki kein henichu hein b'mavsim ha'koizvim. V'harambam z'alka sheshonim me'at ve'omar she'tzumas ha'gidin hein be'etzem ha'tachton. And when the Rambam seems to introduce new realities based on his understanding of the facts, be'ofos lo hodulo. The Rambam wasn't accepted when he would go against the Gemara very often in these type of things. Right? We don't see any difference in between an animal and a bird in the Gemara. So just because the Chachmei Umos Olam are telling us that there is a difference, we don't necessarily change the halacha. Even though we all know the Rambam was a doctor, right? So he knew, he's an expert in these things. So why? So we certainly should listen to him. That's the Rivosh's main principle. We don't live our lives based on what doctors tell us. We rely on Chazal. Afilu yoimru lanu al yamin shehu small shem kiblu ha'emes u'perusha mitzvah ish mipi ish al Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo mamin el chachmei vonim vayishme elim. We're not going to trust what they tell. Shal dibu reik misfarasim. We can't trust their experiments. Who knows that they did experiments properly? Who said that their control was properly? Not telling you how far this goes. Let's take 100%. I'm just trying to show you the perspective. I'm not passing a shayla based on this. He's not telling you how far he goes, right? We know that very often we do change based on the new findings. Okay? So let's take a look at Rav Kook. Many decades later, comes Rav Kook. And he's dealing with the shaila of mesu echav maschas mila, where al pi halacha we would have to give this person a mila, but al pi the doctors are telling us that this is going to be a sakana. So what do we do in such a case? Do we take the doctors into account? Do we say no? The Torah says the halacha is that you give him a mila. You give him a mila. Says Rav Kook. Just interesting to see a different perspective. Again, we've seen a sampling of perspectives. We've seen those that say, Chacham Tzvi seems to say, that we always accept the newest information. We've seen those that say that, no, the Rivosh says we reject it. We don't care. It's not going to change the halacha. Rav Kook is somewhere in the middle. Says Rav Kook, Nochi Sharoitzel is Geyer. He wants to be Megayer. V'arayfim oimrim sha'amila yisikana. But the doctors say that it's dangerous. B'vnei machalasa. So, do we let him convert without a mila? Ki im b'tfilu v'kabalos mitzvos. La'ani is daiti, says Rav Kook. Ein lasleis mizeh sofik. Ki ein l'shar goydel hamach shela sh'teitza mizeh. Kishe yusparsim adovish she'evshar al pismach ha'roifim. L'hocho l'hokel b'achnosas geirim ke'ela b'lo mila. Ki alo b'avnaseinu rabim makilim b'kabalos geirim. B'shvil isha she'evshar l'mchois harbi p'am. Afilo ide mila gamkein. Ha'geirim shalahem refuya. U'mayiyya im yifrot adovir l'hatir b'lo mila. So the first thing Rav Kook says is, we can't let him be Megayer without a mila. Hine chashashti, next paragraph. Ulai michoisin emonas haroifim dakeu bab tzvayskim. He says, but Rav Kook says, I'm not allowing him because I don't trust the doctors. That's a mistake. Yesh lomer delo nachsek es amila chazana. There are those that will say, no, just because the doctors say it's sakana, we don't care. The Torah doesn't say it's sakana, we don't care. We don't think it's a son. Ava me'acha shalko ponu b'malkum safik nefoshes ne'monim. V'afagav dein tzorech lizgayir u'mimele lo yichonis zakona. Ava ne safik zakona gamkan i'efshe lo b'mila. Okay, yishloimar didame le'isha v'nira shafiluch sheyavi erak m'chu v'mila. What does Rav Kook make it into? It's a safik, a middle shita. So we've seen those that reject scientific findings if it's against halacha. We've seen those that accept it. Rav Kook says, when the doctors come and tell us something, it automatically catapults it into the category of a suffix. We don't necessarily accept it, but we have to be choshish for it. We have to be concerned. And therefore, in a case like this, sakanas nefashos, it's a suffix. We have to at least accept it as a suffix and do what we would do in a case of suffix. So this is a general hagdama to how new modern innovations have been approached through the centuries. I could give you many, many. We could give whole separate shiurim on this. Many, many different examples. I just chose two interesting examples that the poskim discussed. But now let's get back to our specific case of DNA. Let's remind ourselves of the story that we began with last week. Says Mar Malcolm 3, the Sefer Chassidim, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, Kihine, Maisa b'Reb Sadia ben Yosef HaChacham. There is a story that is told of Reb Sadia ben Yosef HaChacham. Some attribute this to Reb Sadia Goin. Others say it's not. Be'echot she'holach l'medinas hayom. He walked to Medinas Hayom im avdoi with his slave. Ve'hoylech imoy mamoin. And he brought a lot of money with him. Ve'ishto haisa me'uberes. And his wife that he left at home was pregnant. Liyamim meisa odoin. Then suddenly he dies. V'hiniach kol hamamon, and all the money is left to the only one who's with him. V'holach ha'eved v'hichzik b'nechasim. So the eved takes the nechasim. V'yoymer eved ani b'no, I'm his son. But then the little child that was in utero at the time of the death grows up. Kishegodol haben shalido shama shemeis aviv. He hears that his father died. Halach litvaya nichasiv. So he goes to claim his assets. Shehichzik b'me'eved, that the eved stole. V'nischatim b'gdoy le'edor, the Eved was already oyle l'gdula, he was considered to be one of the great people. V'hayyorei haben liftoyach piv pen yahaguhu. And he was nervous to say anything, because maybe the person was so powerful he'd be able to arrange for his death. V'nischatim b'beis Rav Sadia. So he comes to Rav Sadia. V'niach lefanav lecho. And he leaves, he gives him to eat. V'lo yachol, he couldn't eat. He tells him everything that happened. So this is the etza he gave. How is Rav Sadia going to decide this din Torah? He let blood, he drew blood from both of them. And he dug up the corpse of the nifter. He takes a bone of the nifter, v'aniach b'safal ha'eved, he puts it into the blood of the eved, v'loy nivla adam, and the bone doesn't take to the blood. V'lokach ha'etzem, v'samay say b'safal ha'ben, v'nivla adam, and the blood begins to be absorbed in the bone. Ki yuguf echad, because father and son are one body, it's one entity. V'lokach Rav Sadia ha'mamayin, v'nosnu livno. Based on this, he paskin the shayla. Now here we obviously have a precedent for paskin shaylas based on interesting evidence. This is not your regular everyday tuedim, not your regular everyday source of testimony that the Gemara usually requires, that the Torah usually requires. Here, Rabbi Yehuda al-Chassid is bringing a story where, based on some sort of natural phenomenon, we're able to determine relationship, and he's paskining the shayla based on this natural phenomenon. Fascinating. Who is this Rav Sadia? What?
At the moment, he can do whatever he wants.
Okay. What is that so? Mamanus, you can do whatever you want. There are no rules. Mitz michver levaraya. Apishne edim yakum dover dover dover. Right.
What it calls ready being called in. Feel
what he thinks. Let's see. Not so simple. Maram Malkum 4. Who is this Rav Sadia? Maiser Rav Sadia. The Sefer Masiyos Katan Tefuz Yashin Hevi Maiser Zeshi Ira Bimei Shloima HaMelech. There are those that say it goes back to the times of Shloima HaMelech. V'Rav Mata Moshe Hevi Maiser Zek Moshe Kosev Rabbeinu V'Rav Eliya Rabba Simin Tovkov Samaches Heira Alzeh Mibasra De Daf Nun Ches. And we'll see what the Eliya Rabba's Kasha is. So over here already you have, maybe this could be a source for being able to decide based on DNA, based on blood work. Isn't that after all what the Sefer Chassidim is writing? So you have a Shaila. I'll just give you one of many, many examples. 7 years ago, the nephews of a deceased Uruguayan Jew told the Beis Din that he was childless and received his inheritance. 3 years later, a man appeared in Beis Din and claimed to be the deceased's son. The Haifa Beis Din examined his claim in great depth and concluded that he was indeed telling the truth. The cousins appealed the Haifa decision in the Yerushalayim's Beis Din of Appeals, arguing that the self-claimed heir was a fake who had no contact with the deceased or his wife for 30 years and was not present at the Levaya. They demanded a DNA test to reveal the truth. Two members of the Beis Din argued that through the investigations already conducted made any more tests superfluous. The third Dayan, Rabbi Eliezer Igra, argued, this is from 2017, June 2nd, argued that due to modern advances in DNA testing, such a test would provide incontrovertible evidence of the truth and should be used. The Psak followed the majority opinion. At a subsequent appeal in Israeli Supreme Court, Justice Manny Mazuz took the Beis Din side, writing, "The Beis Din HaGadol explained in detail how the Dayanim operated to reach a correct decision, and there is no sign in their mode of operation of any defect in the principles of natural justice." Again, you see, Arayom Hazeh, this is being debated, whether we can accept DNA findings, whether we could force a person to even take a DNA test to conclude relationships. So, the truth is, the Paiskim earlier really discussed, not too many years before this, but before the Paiskim discussed DNA, they discussed blood tests, because there are such blood tests which also, with fairly accurate, high accuracy, could also detect paternity and things of those nature. And therefore, when these tests became popular, the poskim were asked this shaila as well. Could we trust a blood test and decide halacha based on the findings of a blood test? So they point to Gemara in Meseches Nida. The Gemara says as follows. Tanu Rabbanan, Marmakam number 5. Shloisha shutvin yesh be'odom. There are three partners that are involved in the creation of man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God is involved. Ve'aviv, his father. Ve'ima, and his mother. Aviv, what does the father give? Mazriya ha'loivin. What is the loivin? What is made out of the loivin, out of the semen? Shemimenu atzamos, bones. Ve'gidim. V'tziparnayim, sinews and the nails. Umoyach sheberosha, and the brain. If you're not happy with your brain, you know who to complain to. V'loiven sheba'ayin, and the eye in your eye, the white in your eye. Imoy, what does the mother give? Mazra'as oidem, the red, the blood. Shemimenu, from there. Or ubasar usaros. Ushachar sheba'ayin. Now, nowhere over here does it say where we get the blood. But the Paiskim assume, if the mother is giving oidem, you could assume the blood comes from the mother as well. And in fact, there are those that have that girsa. Take a look at the she'iltas. Marmakam 6 says the she'iltas. Marmakam 6, she'ilta de mechayvin de beis Yisrael likura abil ve'ima. You have to respect your parents. Why do you have to respect your parents? First of all, the chsir kabin es avichu v'esmech. It's pasuk in the Torah. Now, why is it a pasuk in the Torah? V'chein b'din, even if it wasn't a pasuk in the Torah, says the she'iltas. Of course you have to respect your parents. Why? She'shloshen shutvin bo. They helped you. They made you. D'tan rabbanon. Shloshen shutvin yesh bo be'odom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aviv v'imo. Loi v'ncha ish mazriya noitzri menu gidim. They make the gidim. V'atzamos. Umoyach. V'tziparnayim. V'lovin shebe'naim. Edoim. And the blood. Shebe'isha mazres. From there they create noitzri menu. Or skin, basar, flesh. Vidam, and the blood. So here you have in the she'ilta clearly. What?
Milk is from blood.
Yeah.
So the mother gives you the milk.
Mother gives you the milk, but we're saying even before, even in utero, the blood in the body. Oh, gewaldic, gewaldic, okay. So let's see. So let's see what the Gemara. So the Gemara seems to say that you can't take a paternity blood test. Doesn't do us any good. First of all, paternity tests that are blood tests, from what I understand, even though they are fairly accurate when it comes to being able to prove who the father is, not nearly as accurate. The claim is that it's not nearly as accurate. What they really claim to do is to prove who the father is not. That they could prove that this is not the father. So to that claim, the police can come and say, you can't prove anything, because we know, where does the blood come from? Not from the father, from the mother. That's why his blood doesn't look anything like this guy. Of course he's the father, but the blood comes from the mother. Take a look at a tshuva from Tzitz Eliezer. Unbelievable. Hayesh Efsharus, Marmalkum 7. Hayesh Efsharus Likvaya Zehus Avos. Could you determine paternity? Al Yisoy Toitzas Bedika Suge Adam. Through a blood test. Ve'ovoy Bezel She'elosu Ashnia. She'altoy. What do you ask? Yodoy She'al Yidei Bedikas. Sug Hadam, you want to do a blood test. Esha Lishlo Bivados, and they're claiming they could prove without any question, without any doubt, Shiru Uvein Hu Ha Abashal Yelet Haim Bidika Vitaitse Taifes Malkum Bidi Haim Bidika Vitaitse Taifes Malkum Bidina Tar. Do they have authority? Do these tests have authority in Halacha? Says the Tzitz Eliezer right out of the shoot. What's his first Gemara he points to? Vashivenu is Gemara Meseches Nida. Daf Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph. Tan Rabbanan Shloisha Shutvin Yesh Be'Adam. Kadosh Baruch Hu Avi'ima Avi Mazriya Loivin Shemena Atzai. The Gemara we just saw. V'nei Be'Oidim She'Isha Mazres Boris Shachlo Boris Shekol Bazeh Hadam. Of course, the blood is part of what the mother creates. So therefore, there's no way you could prove anything from the blood. Next paragraph. V'Hochi Re'isi Gam B'Sefer Shari Azio. The Rishon Litzion, Rav Uziel. What did he say? Wrote the same thing when this came out. Komakam shein churas adin mechayeves ha'avlu mizoynes yelid zinunim. Ein soichen al bedika mador sholdam. We cannot rely on a blood test. On a blood test, Shaldama Yelabidim Yoino Lazeshal Av. Shekain Kabbalah Mechazal. We have a Kabbalah from Chazal. Shloisha Shutvin Ba'adam. And the mother is who is responsible for creating the blood. Therefore, you can't prove that someone is not the father because the blood is not comparable. Says of Uziel, says the Titel Yezer, you have no raya. Next paragraph. Ulfidaiti ain't been mikra zegam stira. And even if they tell you that they have evidence, it doesn't mean anything because we could assume it's at the very least a mixture between the two. So therefore, you have no evidence from a blood test. It doesn't potter anyone from any parental obligations because he says, I'm not the father, look at the blood test. And it's not mechayev anyone. We don't take it into account. That seems to be the halacha. Where else do we see this concept of assuming that the blood comes from the mother be taken into account in halacha? Take a look at the next paragraph. The last paragraph before Gimel. V'yu'in or b'yardeya, where the Vilna Gaon writes, Gabla gabe mila shadin shamesa achlachas mila. We know that if two brothers already were nifter from a mila, so we assume that there's some sort of condition where they can't heal properly, and therefore the next brother we don't give him a mila. So who do we judge it based on? Brothers from the mother or brother from the father? Says the Vilna Gaon, we go with brothers from the mother because this is a condition of the blood. And who does the blood come from? The blood comes from the mother. So therefore here, we don't care about brothers from the father, we care about brothers from the mother. Now look what he brings in Ois Gimel. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, Omnom b'sefer chasidim, simen reish lamed beis, misuper out of sadia, she'osa maisa likvoya zehus haben. What am I going to do with this story of Reb Sadia? Viloses lo ha-Yerusha, and he gave him the Yerusha, ayidei ha-kozes dam b'safo, because of this, his own unique blood test, many centuries before the modern day blood test. So you see that he was willing to rely on such a thing. There, was it the blood of the mother? No, it was the blood of the father. And you're telling me, based on the way that the bone reacted to the blood of the father, you're telling me that it's father and son. We know that blood follows the mother, not the father, based on Chazal. So what are you telling me? Avonira de ein likvayim izeh halacha. Says Tzitzel Yezer, good question, but we don't base halacha based on stories in Sefer Chassidim. And you're right, it's a good kasha. Based on Chazal, we assume the blood comes from the mother. Here, Reb Sadia is clearly assuming that there is a relationship between the blood of the father and the son. But we can't be kaveh halach on this. V'loy matzina b'kezeh b'shas. We don't see anywhere in Shas that such a test was ever done. Not only do we not see that such a test was done, we see places where such a test would be useful and is not done. Where do we see such a thing? Take a look at a Gemara in Meseches Baba Basra, Mar Mokum 8. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, you see the Chazal weren't soimich on this innovative blood test of the Sefer Chassidim. Why? Look at a Gemara in Meseches Baba Basra, Mar Mokum 8. Says the Gemara, Hach Issa, you had a woman, Asara Boni Isla, she had 10 sons. Vilesle me avuch elachat kishoche, but only one of them was from this particular man. When he died, I'm leaving all my assets to my one son. But she didn't know which one was it, right? It's 10 sons. You get mixed up. Who's from who? So he didn't know which one. So we have to figure out who's his son, which of the 10. So the other 10 said, let's just split it 10% each. No, we want to figure out who gets 100%. They came to Rabbanu. Omr lehu, zilu chavoytu kivre davuchem. Let's go dig up the kever. Adikoyu megalichu lahay minaychu shavka. Ozluku, they all went and did the chavata on this kever, this whole process. Ahu debrei havelo ozo. But the one that was the son stayed back. He said, I'm not going to go mess around with my father's kever. I'd rather give up on the money than to be mezalzel in the kever of my father. Omr lehu, what did he say, Rav Benoi? Who's the real son? He's the real son. Says the Rishash. Say the G'dayli Achroinim, I don't understand. Why didn't Rav Banah have a much better Eitzah? Didn't he know the Eitzah of the Sefer Chassidim? You dig up the bones, and you put the bones into the blood, and you'll find out who is the real son. Why is he doing this whole thing with the chibut bakever? With being mezalzel in the kever, with all the sons go, why does he need this test? You have a much better raya. Says it's Eliezer, what do you see clearly from here? You see that our Gemara doesn't rely on such things. This is not a good raya for our Gemara, and therefore, you see, it's rejected. Interesting, Sefer Chassidim can't paskin like it, can't accept it, halacha le maisa. But not everyone agrees that this Gemara is a proof against it. Why? Is this Gemara a proof against using a blood test? Using, I should say, the Sefer Chassidim's blood test. The fact that they didn't use the Sefer Chassidim's blood test, isn't it clear that they rejected such a thing? And in halacha, we don't accept such a thing. And if we don't accept the Sefer Chassidim's blood test, so then you have no proof that we accept our blood test. Bizman hazeh? So comes Rav Yashiv and he says, not so simple. Where is this story the Sefer Chassidim quoted in halacha? Take a look at Shulchan Aruch, Marmokum 9. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Im ira yoy misas aviv. Person has yirtzeh. B'Shabbos of Rosh Chodesh. So the halacha is, on yirtzeh, we of course make tikkun. No, of course we fast, right? Oy b'Shabbos, oy b'Rosh Chodesh. But it happens on Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh, so then you can't fast. Yidchei l'machar. So don't worry about it, you push it off to the next day. Says the Ramah, the ain noigin came. We don't push it off. Ela ein misan and kla. We don't fast. If it falls on Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh, we don't fast. V'chein b'shayam she'ein behem tachnun. If it falls out, Yirtzeh falls out on one of those days, so then there's no fasting. Comes the El Yerabba, Marmokum 10. Yesh legam game bazeh. Ditam detainis enemishim kavod. The reason we fast on a Yirtzeh. Interesting to know. Why do we fast on a Yirtzeh? Right? It comes from a source from a Gemara in the Darim, which seems to say that a person fasts on a Yirtzeh. But what's the reasoning behind it? Why do we fast on a Yirtzeh? So there are those that say, it's mitam kavod. It's a way of being mechabed, my parent. I'm gonna willing to, I guess, go through some painful process or get some kapara for that person. Says Eli Rabba, no, it's nothing to do for that neshama. Nothing to do with that. Why do we fast on? Why do at least Lithuanian Jews? Why do we fast on a yirtzeit? Because reya mazle. Because you're very connected to your father. And if this is the day that one's father was nifter, that means this is the day you got to be nervous. Person should be tittering his whole yurtzeit, right? So, says the El Yerabba, Ditam tainis enemishim kovud, not a way of being mechabit a father, elemishim sakona, direya mazle, kemosha kosa simirish peches, ve'oida ta'am she'ova ben guf echad, because you're like one body. And how do I know that father and son are made from the same stuff? Like one big body, kemay sitter of sadia, shelakhu etzem imeis v'tavlu b'dam hakazos ha'ben v'nivla dam, and all of a sudden the blood took to the bone. Why would the blood of a son take to the bone of a father? Obviously, you see, we're one body, and that's the reason, part of the reason for the tainus, for the fasting on the yirtzeh. So comes Rav Yashiv, and he says, now perhaps we have an answer to the following shiloh. What was the shiloh of the Yashiv got? So far we've been dealing with paternity tests to discuss Yerusha. Rabbi Yashiv got another serious shiloh, another paternity test. Says Rabbi Yashiv, Marmokum 11. Al-davar ha-she'ela, be'achas me'uberes. Person was pregnant. She'amr la'bayla. She tells her husband, I have a surprise for you. She'ha'uber eino mimenu. This happens not to be your kid. Right? Over. Okay, so how does he respond? Umi ish acheru, it's from someone else. Va'at acher zman rav shenolda habas. Now, for some reason, he ignored it. But now it's already the daughter is born, grown up. Nafsha b'sheil also. Iyase b'dikas avos. Should I do a DNA test to see whether this is my daughter or not? After all, my wife claimed that it wasn't my daughter. Right? So what does Rav Yashiv say? In terms of whether you're usher to live with her, because after all, we know an ishes ish that's mizana, you're not allowed to live with an ishes ish that's mizana. But the good news is, she's not believed. We don't trust her. A woman's not believed to say, I was mizana. Why? Because we assume, the Gemara says, if we would believe a woman who said she's mizana, what would we do? Any woman who wanted out of the marriage, easy, right? She has Shema Yitin Eina Be'acher. She'd rather marry someone else. She's not going to be able to force her husband to give her a get. She doesn't want to lose, right? So what does she do? So she says, I was Mizana. Now you can't live with her. So what? I'm stuck. I have to give you a get. Now I can go marry who I want. So Chazal said, we don't trust you. You weren't really Mizana. You just don't want, you want out of the marriage. We don't trust you. So a man does not have to believe his wife when she says to Melcha. Unfortunately, this is Halacha L'maisa Adaya Mizet. Very often, unfortunately. Where? Person will call up a Rav. Again, I'm not an old person. I already know numerous cases of this happening. And say, my wife told me she was Mizana. So you call up, I don't want to say name of certain Paiskim, and they'll say, okay, but she's lying. Doesn't affect anything. I mean, you can choose to do what you want to do, but she's lying. Al pi halacha, she has no nemunus. That's what Rav Yashu is saying over here. What? Okay, that's a different, separate story. That's a separate story. She brings Eidim, then, yeah, then you're in trouble. So first thing Rav Yashu says is, you don't have to be nervous about being usher to your wife all these years, because you don't trust her, your wife. That's obvious. It's a Gemara Maseches Nedarim. She just wants out of the marriage. Do I have to do a DNA test to know whether she's really my daughter or not? Says Rav Yashiv, Uba'el Yerabba, Hevi Maisa B'Rab Sadya, Shelokhu Etzem Mimeis, Vitavlu B'dam HaKazel Shel Aben. We know that there existed an earlier DNA test, the DNA test of Rav Sadya Go, that the Sefer Chassidim brings. And we know that the Gemara in Baba Basra seems to not rely on that. The Gemara makes an estimation based on who reacted, who was not willing to dig up the father's kever, Kamosha Kazar Rajma. Vilamaloy Avir Kahadir of Sadia. Why didn't Rav Binan, the Gemara in Baba Basra, why didn't he do the test of Rav Sadia? So we said, obviously you see, like the Tzitz Eliezer, that the test of Rav Sadia Gon doesn't work. Halacha doesn't accept it. Says the Rishash, no, of course Halacha would accept such a thing. You want to know why Rav Binah and the Gemara in Baba Basra didn't do the test of Rav Sadia? The Tirit of Rav Shash, says Rav Eliashiv, Mikev and the Ayidei Nisoyin Anal Yizgalash Ein Mamzerin. Since through doing this test of Rav Sadia, it will become clear not only who the son is, but nine of them will become Mamzerim. So therefore, you're not obligated to do a test which will prove people to do Mamzerim, to be Mamzerim. Why ruin their lives? Now they're living like nice, fine Yidden. They'll get good Shidduchim. Everything's good. No one looks at them differently. You do a paternity test. All of a sudden, you have nine Mamzerim and their children and their grandchildren. Everything's ruined. Why do that? That's why Rav Binah, of course Rav Binah knew the Sefer Chassidim. He knew about the Rav Sadia's paternity test. But he didn't want to do it. Because he wanted to paskin the Shaila without creating Mam Zerim. Says Rav Yashiv, so you two over here, why do you have to go and do a DNA test? Of course you don't. Like the Rishash says, you don't have to do a DNA test. Because if you do a DNA test, what's going to happen? Either you're the father, or you're going to prove that she's a mamzer. You don't have to prove, do anything which will create mamzeris. Unbelievable psak. Says the Rav Yashiv, last paragraph. Amnam be'ikar ha-kushin shel Rabbi Yesh Lodon. Halomeis asa ba'ana. He says, the very question of the El Yerabba, we could give different answers. But based on the Rishash's answer, that one's not obligated to do any tests which will disclose that someone is a mamzer. An unbelievable chiddush. You have the ability to see, theoretically, whether someone is a mamzer, and part of, presumably, where they're coming from is part of mamzer vadev lo b'safik mamzer, that as long as you don't know the person's a mamzer, we don't have to treat him like a mamzer. So this is Rav Yashiv coming. Again, he doesn't tell us what happens if we know information based on DNA. But he does tell us that we're not obligated to go and seek out the information. He tells us we don't have to go and find the information. So far we have two piskei halacha. The Tzitz Eliezer told us that we don't trust blood tests when it comes to paternity. When it comes to maternity, probably we would. When it comes to paternity, we don't trust blood tests because the blood comes from the mother. Fine, that's when it comes to blood tests. But what about when it comes to DNA? Do we trust a test, a DNA test? Says the Rabbi Yashiv, we don't know if we trust it, but we certainly don't have to go ahead and do it if it's going to, and to find out that people are mamzer. But now we need the next question. This
what
is...
What happens if you don't have another option?
What do you mean?
In other words, in that case, he didn't go to the kever.
Yeah.
He didn't live as his father.
Yeah.
So let's assume he would have gone to the kever.
So what would the halacha be?
Yeah, that would have required some sort of testing.
Uh-huh. Let's say you have no other option to paskin the shaylin hilchos mamonis. Are you able to do DNA even if we would create mamzerim? That's a good question. It's a good question. We don't know. On the one hand, we have a value. We don't want to create mamzerim. On the other hand, we need a paskin the shaylin. That's a good shaylin. Maybe that will become clear through some of the other piskei halachos. Yeah.
So therefore,
Ben David
is not
going to
do it. Okay,
good. So, but this is all with regards whether we have to go looking for it. The halacha is we don't have to look for it. If you're fine with your life the way it is, there's no need to go look for it. But let's say someone did go look for it, and someone did the DNA test. Are we soymech on it? Do we allow it into the halacha conversation? So here, we have to understand, every area of halacha requires a different level of proof. It requires a different level of a raya to prove something. So let's say we want to discuss a case of DNA testing, which is most relevant most frequently in the cases of the agunas of the World Trade Center. This is where the tshuvas, really very recent tshuvas, obviously, are discussing the shaila, where people, unfortunately, were totally not recognizable because of the terrible, terrible damage that was done, Rahman al-Islam. Yet, DNA tests were still able to be done. And the DNA test showed that the person X was nifter, and this could free a woman from being an agun. So are we willing to be... This is not a case of where I'm trying to avoid the DNA test, where Rabbi Yashiv says you don't have to do it. Here's a case where a woman's pleading to the rabbis, please, I have a DNA test. This proves that my husband had died, and I'm mutter, I could get remarried. Are we allowed to rely on such a thing?
Most of the DNA testing was not done because somebody asked for it.
What?
Most of the DNA testing was not done because a woman asked for it.
It was done anyway. We have the information. Correct. We have the information, but presumably, even if they would ask for it, we would be allowed to do it. But that's not the shayla. The shayla is once you have the information, what role does it play in the halacha? Mishum eguna kilu barabanan. Right? We minimize. Normally, we need two edim over here. We're willing to be mekel. The Gemara says edus isha, but maybe edus isha is better than DNA. Okay, so we have to know what level. So there is a big discussion in the modern place. This is halacha lemaisa. Nebuch, the Twin Towers came down, and this was a major shaila with many, many agunas on the line. And they had to decide, are we going to accept DNA? And there are many different areas of halacha that they had to deal with. Whether DNA would fall into X, whether it fall into Y, whether it fall into Z. We're going to discuss one aspect because we'll be here for the next 3 years. Well, you have to discuss whether you could create a rove, a majority based on DNA. Many places can reject that. DNA doesn't create a majority because, after all, how many people have been tested? How do we know that DNA doesn't repeat itself? Have most of the people in the world been tested their DNA?
They say the odds are a million to one. That's wrong.
Okay, but in halacha, most of the world has not been. We haven't tested most of the world. Based on their scientific study, their presumption that things will follow the ratio that they've been finding, they're assuming that. But in halacha, you need real facts. And in halacha, they didn't even test most of the world. So it's very questionable whether you could create a rove. I don't want to get involved in the shayla of rove. It's very complicated whether this creates a rove or a chazaka. Most poskim assume that it does not, DNA does not create a rove. And it does not create a chazaka al pitei. In which case, we're left with the following area of halacha to see whether it fits into this area. Take a look at Mar Malkum 13, where the Gemara in Bava Metzia, right? You're in the middle of learning Bava Metzia, and you had it up to here with the lost objects, and this is Simon, and that is Simon, and this is Simon. And at the end of the day, you're saying, okay, just give it back to the guy. Who cares, right? You don't think for a second that it's going to pop up in a Shiloh of an Ashes Ish. Says the Gemara Maramakam 13, Iboyelehu. The Gemara asks the Shiloh, Simonim deraiso derabanon. Is the concept of Simonim, the ability, the willingness to rely on a Simon. That means an identifiable sign. Someone loses an item, and you find it. And now the owner, or the alleged owner, comes to claim it. You say, the halacha is, give me a siman, prove that it's yours. How do I know it's yours? So he has to give you a sign that he knows this item had X, Y, and Z, and only he would possibly know it if he's the owner. So based on a siman, you give it back. So this concept of simanim, being able to give an identifiable sign that something is what you are claiming it to be, does that work on a level, Mida Arais, on a Torah level? Or is that a construct which was created by the Chazal, by the Rabbana? But on a Daraisa level, you need two Eidim. There's nothing short of two Eidim. Simanim, signs, don't work on a Daraisa level. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Are Simanim Daraisa or Darabana? Says the Gemara, Mainaf Kamina. Who cares? We know that it works when it comes to lost object, whether it's Daraisa or Darabana. Doesn't make a difference. Mainaf Kamina. Says Gemara, Lahadure get Isha be Simbonim. Let's say the thing you found wasn't Stama watch. You found someone's get. Right? Now she can't get remarried without this get. She's presumed to be an Eishes Ish. So now she comes and she says, that's my get. Now, if she's a married person who wants out of her marriage, she just got an easy get. Maybe she's fooling you. Now, once she has a get in her hands, she's able to say, this is my get. She'll be able to get remarried. So we can't just be, when it comes to Dine Mamnis, we're willing to be Mekel. Chazal have much more leeway, say, yeah, it's probably his item. What's the worst that could happen? Here, if you return the get to the wrong Rachel Ba Shimon that lives in that place, you're theoretically creating a situation where a married woman is going to have infidelity. You're going to create an Isha's Ish L'shuk. So here, it's not good enough to have a simon if simanim are only derabanan. Here you need simanim if simanim will only work if simanim work on a deraisa level. So what does the Gemara say? Iyamar deraisa madrina. Viyamar derabanan ki av rabanan takanta b'amayna. Chazal could say to give it back, but when it comes to money, they're able to have more leeway to say give it back, even if it's not really his, necessarily, if they're not 100% sure. Ava b'yisura lo av rabanan takanta. But if this person might be an Eishes Ish, how could you give her a get back? Says the Gemara, Tashma. So we have to know, is Simonim signs the Araisa or Derabanan? Returning an item based on someone giving you a simon. Is it a Araisa or Derabanan? Says the Gemara, Ein me'idin al parts of aponim. You can't testify in the face of a person. Im hachoitim. Afo pi sheyesh simonim begufoy u be. Caleb. You could only be mayid on a person that it's him if you saw his face with his nose. Shema mina simanim lav deraisa. But just because you saw what he was wearing and you know this guy has that suit, so you have a good simon, simanim don't work. They don't work in the realm of deraisa. Says the Gemara, Amra gufay de arich the good, Caleb the chayshin la she'ela, eim idin al ashuma. Ve'eloze ben mavai, oimer me'idin al ashuma. Tahacha b'shuma, Simen muvaku kamifagi. Marsava shuma simen muvaku, umarsava shuma lav simuvaku. Gemara says there are different levels of simon. Not every simen is created equal. You have a simen that a person's wearing a specific thing, that's not a great simen. Someone else could have that same exact thing. You have a simen that a person was certain height. Again, a lot of people that are tall, a lot of people that are short. You said, oh, he's a very tall person, that's not a good simen. But if you say that a person has a simon, he had a birthmark on this place in his body, what are the chances that another person had it? This was the exact person. So simonim are broken down into three categories. What we call a simon garua, that's a terrible simon. This is something which a lot of people have. A simon beinoni, which is a pretty good simon. It's not 100% clear that it's this guy, but there are, because there's still enough people that have it. But it's a valid sin. It's not the type of thing where everyone has it, where it's easy to create a fake one. And then there's what we call a simen muvok. A simen muvok means this is almost undeniable. This simen doesn't exist with anyone else. If you were able to say this, that's a simen muvok. And that's the question, does it work on a daraisa level or daraisa or derabanan level? So now we have to understand, perhaps, if we're willing to entertain the possibility that DNA is a what we call a simen muvok, an undeniable, you cannot recreate it, so then perhaps we could be makel on this aguna, not because of a rov, not because DNA is like Adim, none of that. But perhaps we have the equivalent of a simen muvok. And the Gemara tells us, a simen muvok, a simen, a sign on a person's body, which one could be 100% sure that this was not on anyone else's body. If I see this sign, I know 100% this is that person. So perhaps DNA could qualify for a simen muvok. And with that, Bli Neder, we will continue next week.
Why can't they be in the